Hello everybody. We continue our discussions into logistics management, and today in the second chapter we will be discussing on the transportation infrastructure. Now we have already seen that transportation is one of the most vital, if not the most vital elements of logistics management, and transportation infrastructure is very critical in building a nation's GDP and nation's economic prosperity. So all logistics activity, the efficiency and performance of logistical activity will depend to a great extent on the infrastructure available for various modes of transportation. This would include roads, ports, airports, railways, gas pipelines, amongst others. So the advanced countries or the first world countries, for example, and like United States or Australia, Canada, like these countries have excellent transportation infrastructure for the reason for which is good governance, their economic prosperity, and again vice versa. Because they have a very good infrastructure, they are prosperous. So transportation infrastructure is very, very important and a critical and a key element of logistics management. Let's see how it goes. So the importance of transportation management can be understood from the following few lines. The quality of transport infrastructure is a key determinant of performance in the transport sector, and development of transport infrastructure supports economic growth. What is transportation management? There are even courses available wherein people learn about transportation management, about traffic management, about transportation modeling, etc. So although it's a very critical element of logistics management, somebody wants to go into great detail, transportation management also is a sphere by itself. So it is a holistic process that brings together supply chain partners and service providers to drive inefficiencies out of the transport planning and execution process. So not only does it drive out inefficiencies, the main aim is to bring in efficiency to bring logistics costs down. Because unnecessarily, if logistics costs are high, the cost of goods sold become high and your profitability is reduced. Now, what is the objective of good transportation management or good transportation infrastructure? It is to improve the operating performance of all parties involved by eliminating inefficiencies in the transportation component of the supply chain. And it includes transportation, warehousing, inventory, order processing, and information monitoring. Now, before we go into further details of specific transportation items, we need to understand what transportation in general is and how important or how big it is as a subject. Transportation is the most expensive logistics activity. Across industries, across countries, transportation is the single biggest spend item if you break down logistics costs. It is estimated that this accounts for about 40% of the total logistics cost. This 40% as a number will, of course, might change from the type of product, whether it's a voluminous product or it's a dense product, etc. The percentage will change, but roughly as a rule of thumb, you can say it's about 40% of the total logistics cost. Global transportation operations exceed the turnover. If you want to look like a concept of a GDP, if you look at the total transportation operations value, it exceeds US$3 trillion. So it's a huge amount of spend that globally transportation is accrued. So transportation expense globally is more than $3 trillion US dollars. Now, what is the importance of transportation? Why is it so important? It is so important because it provides the place utility to goods and services. Goods and services can only give value to the consumer or the customer if it is at the right place at the right time. Now, look at these two phrases, right place at the right time. For a product to travel to the right place, transportation is necessary. In order for the product to be there at the right place, at the right time, efficient and fast transportation is necessary. So, both in order for logistics to achieve sending the goods at the right place at the right time, you need to have a robust and an efficient transportation management system. Proper planning is thus required, and this needs focused attention. Transportation function in organizations were earlier clubbed with other functions like materials, marketing, etc. I think I briefly touched upon this while talking about in the first chapter that earlier logistics management was not an independent function, and these activities, especially of the transportation and other warehousing category, were given as additional responsibilities to various other functions like procurement or site operations, as factory operations, or even sales and marketing in some cases, which is totally absurd. As of now, the way things stand, way the business world, the corporate world deals with it, I cannot say about tomorrow if there will be a radical shift in another new direction, but as things stand today, it is absolutely unimaginable to think that logistics can be an offshoot of any other primary function. It has an independent entity and it is an independent function by itself. And in most organizations, the head of logistics, in many organizations I would say, directly report to the head of the company. So he is a peer of the head of sales or the head of marketing, the head of finance or the head of HR, etc. So it is an independent function in itself. At the most, since it's a subset or a subsidiary of the overall supply chain, if you have a head of supply chain, the logistics head might report to him, and that's a very nice structure to have. Overall, as a head of supply chain, you can have an end-to-end understanding of the whole process. So you look after procurement, you look after manufacturing, you look after planning, you look after distribution. So it gives you a holistic idea. Now, the importance of transportation can be gauged from the fact that reducing transportation costs while maintaining or improving customer service levels and leveraging third-party transportation and multimodal transport systems is the focus of this chapter. So we are saying that reducing transportation costs while not hampering customer service levels, rather improving customer service levels, doing this by engaging more 3PLs, 4PLs, whatever way you want to do it. But if you can reduce the cost, maintain service levels or improve service levels, then you have just done your job, a fantastic job at that. So how we need to do this paradoxical thing? Paradoxical because on the one hand you have fuel costs, which is one of the most single largest component of transportation costs, which is about 50% of the transportation cost. Fuel costs going up globally. In India, they go up and down, but on the whole going up every quarter or every 6 months. So how does a person responsible for logistics or responsible for transportation maintain his service levels without increasing his cost? This is a dilemma. The person or persons who are able to overcome this dilemma will really add value to their organizations. Now, transportation, as I said, is on an average the most expensive of all the logistics activities. This is a pie chart that has been made taking into account various companies, various organizations, and averaging it out. With the data which was available for this analysis, it was found that transportation, this pie here, accounted for about 44.4% of the total cost, followed by warehousing, which is a big chunk, about 26%, and then you have the others like inventory and admin and miscellaneous following. So this remains number one spend, and this remains the number two spend. So when you do this pie, you find that if you look at what is should be your priority as a logistics manager, clearly this becomes your single largest priority, and any small reduction here will really impact the bottom line in a very, very positive way. Now, transportation has also evolved. Like other business activities, the growth of transportation has also been very, very paramount. Globally, the growth of transportation happened mainly from the 1980s, when the transportation was deregulated in the United States, and when personal computers also started becoming popular. Now, products have always been transported. So, but the PC revolution was also something which had a very significant impact in shaping supply chain processes all over the world. And they also led to a significant increase in the volume of shipments which used to happen. Now, with the advent of information technology, more prominently, logistics managers could aid in sales growth, thus making way for a growth in the transportation business. So, with better ERPs, with things like SAP available in the market, the amount of information which is available at the fingertips of supply chain managers or logistics managers is huge. Thus, their ability to influence decisions related to transportation also increased manifold with the last few decades in question. Then how do you optimize transportation cost vis-a-vis the service levels? To connect sourcing locations to customers at the lowest possible cost. So if your suppliers till your end customers are connected, if they can see each other, or at least if you in the middle as the person responsible for managing this whole chain is able to see both, then you would be able to optimize many of the supply chain processes, including transportation. For the above, customer details, service levels, volumes of material movement, etc., need to be ascertained. And the last two lines of this PPT is basically very, very, very important as to what is your goal as a person responsible for logistics. Minimize total transportation costs subject to customer service policy. So, if your company's customer service policy, which will definitely be designed as per the category of the product into which the organization is, if that allows you to have, say for example, a week's gap between an order being placed and it being delivered, definitely you can have a much easier job in reducing the transportation costs. However, if like most companies, your customer service policy says that you need to deliver in 48 hours or 24 hours, then to reduce the cost would be a big challenge, and there you will have to brainstorm and innovate to do it. So, the key challenge for all transportation logistics manager: minimize the cost, maintain the customer service policy. So, optimization is subject to some factors like load bearing permission, lane capacities, working hours. Now, what does this mean? Depending on the country that you are operating, or depending on the state within or the province within the country, there will be certain rules of the government which will specify the load bearing capacity of a truck. For example, if you are talking about road transportation, the lane capacities, working hours, etc. So, you will have to formulate your transportation strategy keeping these guidelines in mind. To put it in a crisp manner, a shipper pays a carrier to transport cargo from an origin to a destination where the consignee receives the cargo. This is the overall, this sentence actually has the whole real ethos of transportation management in one sentence. Look at the words in italics: shipper, carrier, cargo, origin, destination, consignee, and cargo. So, the shipper is the company or the person who is shipping the goods, who is initiating the transportation process, selecting perhaps the carrier, or the carrier might even be selected by the customer. So, who is the carrier? Carrier is the transporter. It might be the road transporter, it might be a rail, it might be water or air. To transport cargo, so there must be a goods which is being transported, something material, something which is palpable. From an origin to a destination, so there will always be an origin. Say for example, if the origin is in Bhiwandi in Bombay and destination is New Delhi, so that's the origin, that's the destination, where the consignee is the person to whom it is being sent. He might be the customer, he might not be the customer, and receives the same cargo. So this basically covers what we call as transportation from a commercial point of view. So what are the activities that are included when we say transportation management? You already have a brief idea, but let's look into each one of them in slightly greater details. So it includes tracking and managing every aspect of vehicle maintenance. Now this is more relevant from a practical point of view, if you look at it, when we are looking into road transportation. Because as far as railway transportation in India is concerned, we will not, or if it is a ship or if it is an air cargo, the vehicle maintenance etc. becomes a very organized activity. In railways, it will be handled totally by the government as of now, the public sector. If it is in airlines, it will be handled by the airways. So as an individual entrepreneur, if any one of you becomes an entrepreneur, enters the transportation sector, you will most likely be managing your own fleet of vehicles. You might take it on lease from another third party, but you can still manage it on your own. So managing, tracking all aspects of vehicle and its maintenance becomes a very important part of transportation management. Warehousing, again very very important, because transportation also includes picking up of goods from a warehouse, storing them in a warehouse, because in today's advanced scenario, transporters are not just people who carry goods from one part to the another part of the country. They are also responsible at times, if given the responsibility, to store material in warehouses properly, then again carry them forward, mark them, label them, etc. So they act as what we call as third party logistics providers. Transportation management includes fuel costing. So the economics of fuel costing, you need to find out if you are buying a truck for yourself, what's your interest cost, what will be your EMI, how much will be your driver's salary, your driver's helper salary, the cost of maintenance, lubricants, tire repair, etc. Everything becomes a part of your costing, out of which fuel, as I have said earlier, is the single biggest spend inside transportation. So that will account for 40 to 50% of your total transportation costs. Routing and mapping. So as a transporter, you should have specific routes available for transit. You should have a mechanism by which you should be able to track the shipments. So transporters who are giving an additional feature of tracking through the internet will be preferred than a transporter who does not provide that service. Communications, EDI implementations, these are softwares like especially used in the ports wherein the bill, the IGM and the bill of entry, etc., is filed. Traveler and cargo handling. Carrier selection. Here, by carrier selection, we mean choosing the transporter best suited to carry a particular type of product. Management accounting. Accounting, of course, is a part and parcel of most management disciplines. Transport management focuses on enhancing the interaction between three principal parties: the shipper, the carrier, and the receiver. The receiver is also, we can say, is the consignee here. So the shipper is the person or the company who is shipping the goods in the first place. The carrier is the transporter who is carrying the goods, and the receiver is the final recipient of the cargo. So when in the case of road transport, a lorry receipt, which is a quasi negotiable instrument, is drawn, it will have the consignor and the consignee's address. So as long as the LR is there, it is a proven document that the consignor has handed over so many boxes, so many kgs if it's a bulk product, so many liters of product to the transporter for carriage to a particular destination at a particular place. And also for secondary participants, it also includes the third party logistics providers who provide a larger array of services including warehousing, multimodal transportation, etc. So what are the main functions of transportation as a concept? To serve as a connecting link between separate units within a firm's own organization, such as between plants and warehouses, between units of firm and units of other firms, and individuals such as suppliers and customers. So transportation primarily, you know, you can segregate as primary transportation and secondary transportation. Primary transportation is the first leg of the transportation, that is between your manufacturing site and your warehouse, or between one of your warehouses in another warehouse. Secondary transportation would be the one between the warehouse and the customer. So that would be the secondary transportation. So in economic theory terms, transportation's function is to create place utility for the goods produced or distributed by the firms. Transportation enterprises provide for two major services: product movement and product storage. So when we say product movement, a primary transportation function is the product movement up and down the value chain. The major objective of transportation is to move product from an origin to a prescribed destination while minimizing temporal, financial, and environmental resources costs. So not only as a logistics professional and manager are you supposed to reduce fuel costs and total cost of operations, you are also encouraged and needed to gauge the environmental damage which the transportation activity is doing. So you cannot run a truck without fuel as of now, but the ways by which you can control emission, your company's carbon footprint as such, will prove your efficiency, will prove your worth in the eyes of your customer. Loss and damage expenses must also be minimized. The movement must take place to meet customer demands regarding delivery performance and shipment information availability. So here also we are touching another important point, that it is not only good enough to move a good from one place to another in a particular lead time. Lead time is very important. There are transportation contracts which will penalize transporters for not adhering to lead times. But it's also important that shipment information availability is very critical. In today's world, a lot of just-in-time movements take place through a planned manner, or it becomes an emergency because due to an unforeseen or an escalated customer demand. in that case, it is very important to gauge the shipments movement up and down the routes. So as a customer or as a shipper, you need to know where your truck is at that point in time, where it is held up, if it is held up, and in how many hours or in how many days it will reach the final prescribed destination. Then we come to product storage. A less common transportation function is temporary storage. As I explained, we are not talking about warehousing here from a traditional warehousing function, which was the second biggest pie in the chart, if you remember. We are talking about temporary warehousing as an additional responsibility the transporter takes or is willing to take. So a less common transportation function is temporary storage. Vehicles make rather expensive storage facilities. Another method to achieve temporary product storage is diversion. This occurs when an original shipment destination is changed while delivery is in transit, so till the delivery has been completed. Now, the way in which the transportation economics work is slightly different, and we just need to know. It's very logical. So once we say, it's very easy to understand, but it's worthwhile to note few of the concepts. So the same manufacturing macroeconomic concept of economics of scale is operating here. Then you have the economies of distance. So economies of scale, it refers to the characteristic that transportation cost per unit of weight decreases as the size of the shipment increases. Meaning, if you are going to send 1 metric ton of cargo from point A to point B, then your per unit cost, total cost divided by 1000 kilo, that is 1 metric ton, will be higher than if you are sending 9 metric tons or 8 metric tons or 12 metric tons over the same distance. Why is it so? Because full load consignment, that's FTL consignments, when you are booking a full truck load, the transporter is charging you for that whole, whatever is his running cost, profit, he is charging to you as a flat rate for the whole distance. Now, if the truck is legally allowed to carry 9000 kilo or 9 metric ton of cargo, then you should ideally utilize that full 9000 kilo, because anyways you are going to pay that full amount. Let's assume the amount is 9000 rupees. So if you send 9000 kilo, then 9000 by 9000, it becomes 1. But even if you send 1 ton in that, you will still end up paying 9000 rupees. So 9000 divided by 1000, your per unit cost will become 9, which is more. So generally, as a rule, higher the volume, lower the cost. This is very similar to a human principle. When you go to a market, for example, and you are buying a very basic necessity, let's say you are buying onions or you are buying potato, you will see that the rate which you will pay for buying, say, half a kilo of that vegetable will be more than if you are buying 5 kilos. Or at least you will try to negotiate with the shopkeeper that, okay, I will not take 500 grams, I will take 2.5 kilos. So now what will be your per kilo price? There is a possibility that he will give you a lesser price for that product, because with that bargain, with that higher amount of business that he is concluding with you, he is earning a bit more of profit. So the same logic applies in transportation in the economies of scale. So full truckload shipments cost less per kg than less than truckload shipments or part load shipments. If you go to courier or fast cargo, the cost is even much more. A heavier load allows the costs to be spread out, thereby decreasing cost per unit of weight.